It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout the state of Pennsylvania. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And week three's football is in the books. It's time to get ready for week four. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of week four, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. You can place a $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you cash $100. How can you pass that up? So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up to get the can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week four, bet a dollar on them, and win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Profit boost terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, special teams coach Joe Lorig, who, by the way, he's one of my favorite coaches. I really enjoy listening to him. He makes special teams interesting. I feel like I learned something when he talks. And he was on the coach's show last week and had some interesting thoughts on starting with the return men, starting with the punt team. It seems like everybody on the team wants to return either the kickoffs or punts, don't they?
Yeah, that's a glory part of the game that clearly they're all, I think he used the word politicking to talk about these guys coming into his office and saying, "Coach, you got to get me in there." And to his credit, it seems like it maybe might not follow up with these guys. Maybe they won't actually, you know, they can't all be back there, but it seems like he's really listening anyway and giving it some kind of serious thought. Again, you know, it depends who you are, but I don't expect these guys to be lined up back there. But I do think he's got an open mind about what he's trying to get done and who can get it done for him.
Can you not picture Lamont Wade showing up to lobby for his candidacy for the punt returner? Lamont Wade is one of the names that he talked about. And he said he did watch his high school tape, and that's what Lamont Wade lobbied him to do. But there were a few interesting names that he mentioned for the punt team. Let's talk about them. One is Jahan Dotson. I think he had a couple opportunities last year, and he's a great candidate. Wide receiver, good hands. You would expect him to be a candidate. But some of the other names that were mentioned were Lamont Wade, Marquise Wilson, and freshman Parker Washington. Again, his name has come up. Kind of an interesting list of names there, Dusty.
It is an interesting list of names, and I think your point about Parker Washington is a really good one because that came up. His name came up with Kirk Shiraka as well. And I know we've talked about the idea of him maybe wiggling his way in there, and it would seem for however long he's been on campus and however long he's been around the coaching staff, he has impressed them, I'm assuming both physically and in terms of his mentality and his headspace, because you can't really be in this conversation if you aren't reliable, you know, as a person and as a player. So I think those are both very good signs for Parker Washington to maybe get involved this year. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. The return game would seem to be a good fit for him. It's interesting, you know, you're looking at a couple things. You know, in the punt return game specifically, you're looking for, obviously, the ability to create explosive plays. That's a big factor in who you're picking, who you're going with. But also the mindset to be safe and secure, not get too far ahead of yourself, make sure you're looking the ball in, that you're not flustered by conditions or crowds or, you know, the, you know, gunners coming down and yelling in your face. You know, there's a certain amount of stability required for this job. And I think the mix of those things, the upside when it comes to creating plays with the ball in your hands, and the ability to make sure the ball is in your hands before you get too far ahead of yourself, that Jahan Dotson seems like the best mix of those things. You know, Lamont Wade, he is explosive with the ball in his hands. His high school film is impressive. Joe Lorig admitted as much and said he immediately gave him a shot back there in practice after he did that. Is he too excitable in that situation? Is he able to kind of calm himself? And maybe I'm overstating that part of it, but those are the two different dynamics. I think, and sometimes when we're watching this, we're thinking about big play, big play, big play, when it's like, make the right read, look at where the coverage teams are. You're either letting it go over your head, or you're catching it. Are you fair catching it? Are you giving yourself a shot? That decision-making requires a certain calmness of mind.
Over the years, Dusty, special teams has been a point of contention on this team. It's been much better last year with Joe Lorig, but I still got to admit, as a fan, when I see the opposition punting, my first thought is, please catch it, please catch it, please catch it. You know, don't fumble, don't fumble, don't fumble. And I think your point about Jahan Dotson is a good one. I think he's the guy, as a fan, I look at and say, okay, I believe he'll catch the ball. I don't think he's the guy who will fumble. And I'm not quite as sure about the other guys. The other name that was interesting was Marquise Wilson, who's another defensive back. And it was interesting to me, Dusty, because it made me go back and look at the spring depth chart, where he was already listed as the number two punt returner behind Jahan Dotson. And I don't recall looking at that. Obviously, it's there. It's on my sheet of paper. So that's kind of interesting that he was already the guy there from back in spring as the backup guy.
His skill set seems to warrant that. Clearly, it does for the coaching staff, too. But I think all along, looking at his high school film, like his ball skills and I think run after catch skills are things that really jumped off the page to me. And you started to see it, you know, defensively a bit last year. And I think, you know, he's got a real good like flair and vision and creativity. And I think he seems to be trustworthy with his hands. So I think if those are your two guys, if you're going Jahan Dotson and Marquise Wilson, I think that's a pretty good combination of, you know, big play upside and making the routine play, making the right read, not getting yourself killed unnecessarily. Those are really attributes that you're looking for. Joe Lorig's got to evaluate big mistake avoidance and big play possibility. I like both of those guys. I don't think Marquise Wilson's name surprises me a whole lot.
All right, let's look at the kickoff returners, and you start that with Journey Brown and back him up with the other running backs. But if you're going to design a guy to return a kickoff, after Saquon Barkley, is not Journey Brown just perfect for that role?
There's nobody more perfect than Saquon in a lot of situations, but I would make the case that Journey Brown and his sort of north-south, a little bit more of a shimmy rather than east-west, rather than juke, rather than flare kind of thing, it might even make more sense for Journey Brown because his running style is pretty straightforward, where it just takes a small crease and he can explode through it. I think he's basically, if you listen to Joe Lorig, he's ideal for this job, his speed. The thing with the running backs that was interesting and that seems to be, you know, even going back to Saquon, of a fundamental thing that the coaching staff believes in, is having depth at the running back position and the options it then affords you in special teams as well. The opportunities, maybe even if you're third on the depth chart, you can still have an opportunity for big plays by playing in the return game. And then in Penn State's case, having Journey Brown, but having these other guys and being able to kind of take a little bit of the load off his shoulders allows him to play on special teams without much more additional risk. So I think what Penn State is building in that running back room, you're starting to see you're seeing a trickle down of benefits to other places too.
And when you talked about Journey Brown, you talked about that speed and all he needs is a crease. The other part, and we really saw this at late in last season, especially in the Cotton Bowl versus Memphis, he could break a tackle too. And just breaking one tackle might be the difference between getting the big play and not. All right, the other part, and this is Joe Lorig has talked about this before, and he brought it up again, and I thought it was really interesting that he will often take film from the previous weekend, whether it was from college games or from the NFL, as a way to teach some lessons. Oftentimes it's the here's what not to do. And I believe the specific reference was, if you folks remember, a week ago, the Atlanta Falcons, they were on the other side of an onside kick by the Dallas Cowboys. And that was about as poorly executed as you can possibly do it. And it would seem that's a valuable lesson and a great way to teach your players.
I mean, I think, if anything, to expect the unexpected. You know, I think that was just something, the style that was used by the Cowboys to spin that onside kicks, as opposed to that traditional lineup, drill it into the ground, let it bounce up in the air, give your guys a chance that you hope it's a 50-50 ball. They just caught those guys off guard. You know, most of the time it is going to unfold in a straightforward way. Most of the time it's going to, when they line up in punt formation, it's going to be a punt. Most of the time when they're in a full blown kickoff, they're not going to do a surprise onside kick. I think if anything, just mental preparedness. Nobody knew what to do because that ball wasn't crossing the 10-yard barrier. I think Joe Lorig, that's a really good teaching point to just say, hey, guys, look, we have to be prepared for this scenario now, especially now that it's been successful in the NFL ranks. What if they don't, you know, what if they want to creep it up to 10 yards by design? You have to be ready for that. You have to be ready to make a decision, make a choice, jump on that ball before it gets to 10 yards. You're allowed to do that.
Well, when you have NFL players standing back watching the ball roll till it gets to the 10-yard, you know, that it advanced past 10 yards and not choose to jump on the ball right away, who's that team's special coach, right?
Yeah, those guys were not ready and didn't really think about the rules in that situation. And I think there was some fear of trying to make a play on a ball because you're not used to guys being huddled around you. I think it's a really good teaching point.
It definitely is, and it's a good way to do it. Joe Lorig has been very impressive. He has really improved Penn State's status, their rankings in all of the special teams categories, which is great to see. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Quarter number three, we're going to look at the national college football picture. Stay tuned.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Two of MMA's most respected fighters step into the octagon this weekend at UFC 252. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code KSN when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can bet $1 to win $252 on this weekend's main event. That's code KSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Other terms and conditions and restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook, you don't want to miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. Pick any team during Week 4, bet $1 on them, and win $100 if they win. That's code KSN for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Profit boost terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.